I would like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as your host for the More Abundant Life, I just want to let you know that we're happy that you've joined us, and we hope that you will stay with us. Stay tuned to all of our program today, because as usual, we have something very special for you. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today's title is A Glorious Mystery. And as we've done so many times in the past, when we can't get all of one message into one program, we've divided this one into two parts. So today we're going to hear A Glorious Mystery, Part 1. Just before the message, as we usually do, here is some very, very special music, which I'm sure you're going to enjoy. This is a song by Wintley Phipps entitled, I Love the Lord.
Your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I want to draw your attention to verse 25. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25. Here the Apostle Paul writes, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God for his holy word. A professor at one of America's fine seminaries some years ago told of taking his young son fishing one day. It happened to be one of those days when the fish wouldn't bite. And when the fish isn't biting, you have a lot of time to talk. And out of the clear blue, his son asked him, "Daddy, what's the toughest thing God ever tried to do?" The father, who was a minister, said that the question caught him off guard. He really wasn't ready and he didn't know what to say. So, like a good teacher, and this is what teachers often do when they don't know the answer, he answered the question with a question. He said, "Son, what do you think was the toughest thing God ever tried to do?" The boy said, "Daddy, when I took science in school, I thought maybe the creation of the world was the toughest thing God ever tried to do. And then the other day in church, we were talking about all the miracles that Jesus performed, like raising Lazarus from the dead, and those things sounded pretty tough too. I thought that maybe those were the toughest things, but Daddy, lately I've decided that the toughest thing God ever tried to do was to get men and women to understand how much he really loves them." Brothers and sisters, my message this morning, this glorious mystery, it is a mystery we will never be able to understand. Paul calls it a glorious mystery. The angels, you see, brothers and sisters, they saw Jesus clothing himself with the garb of humanity. And I want to tell you at this juncture that the angels understand better than we do how much God loves us. And I'm sure sometimes they look at us and they scratch their head in amazement. They know God loves us, they just don't understand why he loves us so much. You see, not only had angels heard God speak this magnificent world into existence, they watched in horror as this grand creation of God went up in the flames of sin. They understood from the day Adam sinned that no soul was beyond the tempter's power. Angels wondered what God would do. And they saw that day when God summoned Gabriel to his side. And when Gabriel came forth from the Father's council, they saw that Gabriel's face was alight with wonder. Because there in the council of heaven, Gabriel was the first angel to be briefed on this glorious mystery. You see, God had a secret plan. Gabriel was the first angel to whom God explained this mystery. You see, the Father had made Gabriel privy to a plan that he had to turn the tide of sin and vanquish this profane enemy of ours. They watched as Gabriel, this angelic emissary, this courier from the throne, you thought that we had something with Federal Express. Let me tell you, when God gave Gabriel a message for earth, he would wing his way through the starry heavens, moving faster than hurry up. Yeah. and he arrived there sooner than right now. Gabriel had often been sent to earth to bring tidings of comfort and cheer. He had often brought promises of protection to the fearful. He had often been sent from God with words to bring peace to those in despair. Sometimes he carried urgent pronouncements of God's imminent judgments. And sometimes in the night season, Gabriel was sent by God to whisper to prophets decisions made in the councils of peace. But this day, Gabriel bore upon his breast a word like no other he had ever spoken. He was carrying to earth a diplomatic pouch that contained the details of a glorious mystery. The angel Gabriel was often the one chosen to open the wisdom of God to sinful man, and his name means the strength of God, by the way. This day he was sent to Nazareth with the broad outlines of a glorious mystery. He carried within his bosom a message every human ear was longing to hear. And imagine how he must have felt with this news. Suddenly he appeared before a direct descendant of King David by the name of Mary. The blood of Israel's kings were flowing in Mary's veins. But that day, Gabriel's good news was that God had found a way, hallelujah, to connect the peasant family of earth with the royal family of God. This glorious mystery. He was sent to Mary because her life had come under the scrutiny of God's careful review. And had received, her life had received the approval of heaven. And he said to her, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, you know what blew me away? I hadn't thought about it this way before. But for those of you who have often lived without the knowledge of who your parents are, I want you to know that Jesus had a foster father by the name of Joseph. Any foster children out here? Jesus had a foster father by the name of Joseph, a carpenter assigned by God to take care of him. The maiden Mary herself was set apart by God, and it was when the gentle hue of dusk had settled over that Gabriel came to Mary and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Mary stood transfixed, her feeble frame enveloped by the angel's light. Mary, you are highly favored. A look of anguish marred Mary's brow. Don't be afraid, said Gabriel. God has ordained that you will have a child without the benefit of a man. The first time Mary heard anything about becoming a mother, she heard it from Gabriel. Mary collected herself as almost as though she were in defense of her virtue and said, How can this be? I've never known a man. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing. Look how the Bible puts it. The scripture calls it a holy thing. That holy thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, Mary, in verse 49 of Luke 1, she begins to sing, and Mary says, My soul doth magnify the Lord. But the Bible also tells us in Luke 2 that she kept all these things in her heart, pondered them. She pondered in her heart the meaning of the birth of her child. Brothers and sisters, this glorious mystery of which the Bible speaks is known in theological circles as the incarnation. This glorious mystery is known as the incarnation. The divine presence breaking into human history. This word incarnation means that God came to earth clothed in human flesh. It means that when the world had stumbled into a pit of sin and sorrow, that God came to the earth in the form of a man. Incarnation means that when God saw that our lives were littered with the wreckage of broken dreams, God came to us in the flesh. Incarnation means Jesus was born of Mary without a human father. Incarnation means that God cast aside the shield of his omnipotence, laid down the sword of lightning. He put aside his robe of 1,000 suns and entered our earthly race as a baby. He left magisterium and was born in a manger. This incarnation of Christ is, listen, a glorious mystery. It is a mystery which the Bible says hath been hidden from ages. In other words, God had this plan. He didn't tell anybody. He hid it from generations. It is the profound mystery of godliness, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ, brothers and sisters, took upon himself human nature, a nature inferior to his heavenly nature. Christ did not take on a make-believe human nature. He took it in reality. As the children, he had flesh and blood. You pricked him, he bled. You struck him, he hurt. He is declared to be a man, even the man Christ Jesus. I once read of a great warrior by the name of Hector. And Hector was about to go to battle. He went to kiss his little 2-year-old boy. And Hector, this warrior Hector, was dressed in his full battle armor, including a massive helmet with plumes going all over the place. The little boy screamed, ran from his father until the warrior took off his helmet. It was then that the boy realized it was his father, and he ran towards his father. One writer said that incarnation is God without the helmet on. One writer said if you looked into the face of Jesus, you looked into the face of God on earth. If you wanted to know what God was thinking, you listened to what Jesus was saying. He was born into the world in time, yet he existed from all eternity. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. That day in Bethlehem, Jesus was made flesh. Now, how do we know that? Jesus was made what? Flesh. He was made what? Flesh. Just like you, just like me. But the scriptures calls it a holy thing because human nature without sin, that's a holy thing. That's a holy thing. Human nature without sin, that's a peculiar thing. But he had flesh like we had, and flesh has its limits. Time ravages flesh. It's amazing how you go back and you see people that you haven't seen for 30 years and you see how, what time does to us. Well, you don't have to go look at them, just look in the mirror. Time does something to you. Time ravages human flesh. Flesh has limits. You can only go so high. You can only go so fast when you're in the flesh. Are you with me today? When Jesus was called to come to Bethany, it took him a while to get there. Because flesh has limits. God became flesh to deal with our sin problem. In a sense, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. What book did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm talking about this glorious mystery, verse 21. For he has made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the mystery of godliness. Now, in a sense, this glorious mystery is still taking place today. The incarnation is still taking place today. Because when you put your faith and trust in Christ, here is what happens. The Spirit of Christ comes and tabernacles in you. And the indwelling Christ is in the heart of the believer, really is a type of incarnation. When Christ is enthroned in the center of your personality, he is again incarnate in you. You become his hands. You become his feet. You become his eyes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in the world, incarnate in the world, is the salvation of the world. Christ in you is the hope, your hope of glory. Now, there are people who have tried to explain the mystery of the incarnation. Servant of the Lord says it is, people don't preach on it much because it is impossible. Nobody tries to do this because it's impossible to explain this glorious mystery. That God would become human. She says sometimes when people start talking about the humanity of Christ, watch out. Because most people don't know what they're talking about. Because they veer off theologically into areas and into presumptuous words. They start making Jesus too much like themselves. Are you with me today? It is very difficult to explain this mystery of the incarnation, how Jesus took on human flesh and is like us. But yet, as the scriptures say, what? He has made him to be what? Sin, what? For us, who what? Knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
And pray together. our lives become a sin for me. Heaven is our goal and our destiny. As we walk together and live forever with God.
That's music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled God's Love is a Mystery. A very appropriate song to our title today, which was A Glorious Mystery, and we heard part one of the message. The music that you heard today, both songs, I Love the Lord and God's Love is a Mystery, both by Wintley Phipps, are from the recording entitled I Give You My Life, the first recording that Wintley Phipps did, so we reached back a little bit with our music today. If you would like to obtain information about today's program and obtain a copy of the message for today, please call the Seabrook Church office. The phone number there is 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And today you will want to ask for program number 203. That's program number 203. And that will give you the title, A Glorious Mystery, Part 1. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland, which is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. You may obtain directions to the church and information about services by calling 301-577-6342. Worship services are regularly held Saturday mornings at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. I want to take a moment to thank those listeners who have taken time to call or write to stations expressing how much they have and do enjoy the More Abundant Life program. We're thankful that you're listening, and you may at any time call or write to us at the station that you're hearing this program on, or by calling the Seabrook Church. Again, the phone number 301-577-6342. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I like to wish you the richest blessings that God can give you for the week. I hope that you will join us again next time. But until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
In your heart.